It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
So I'm going to ask you a question that most people wouldn't answer, but knowing you, you might. People thought you were injured going into this game. Are you hurt?
Feeling good.
You look great. Thanks for doing this, Patrice.
Thank you.
Doc.
Feeling good. It's not answering the question now, is it?
No, Ken Bergeron knows. He's not gonna buy in. There's no question something's wrong with him.
It's Felger and Maz, hour number two, 3:05 here in the afternoon. We're coming to you from the Enterprise Center on the streets of St. Louis, Missouri. Day four of Felger and Maz Take St. Louis and Patrice Bergeron. You know, I heard a lot. It's just such an easy knee-jerk thing. You know, the reports that Bergeron's hurt. He missed that practice the day before. And so he's battling something. Then he goes out and has a goal and two assists. And it was like, how hurt is he? Which is just so moronic and stupid. Did you watch? And like everyone did it. Everyone, oh, I guess he's not so hurt. Did you watch? Or do you just see the stat sheet and go, I guess he's not hurt. And it's not even my report. Like I have no personal stake in this. I find so ridiculous. That the automatic knee-jerk thing, oh, I guess he's not hurt. Oh. Did you actually watch it? Because if you watched it, you would see that 5-on-5, he got 9 minutes and 38 seconds 5-on-5. That of the four Bruin centers, he had by far the least amount of ice time, even strength of the four Bruin centers. Coyle played 15-13. Krejci, this is just even strength. Coyle played 15-13. Krejci played 13-20. Crowley played 12-11. Bergeron played 9-38. And you think he's fine?
No, there's no way he's fine.
If he's fine, then Bruce Cassidy should be fired.
Yeah, there's no way he's fine.
For playing Patrice Bergeron with fourth line 5-on-5 minutes. He didn't play the final 7:02. If you look at it, he's played 132 career postseason games. I started to count, but I got a popsicle headache with 132 games to go through. I think his total ice time was 15-19. This wasn't what was on the original game sheet. They went back and adjusted it because they got some numbers wrong, I guess. The final number was 15-19. The 15-19 of ice time is in the bottom 10 of his 132-game career, I think. Again, I didn't have time to go through all 132, but it felt like it was bottom 10. It's pretty rare you see Patrice Bergeron with under 16, never mind 18 minutes, never mind 15-19, never mind 9-38, even strength.
No, especially, you know, given later in his career on the power play. And, you know, obviously he's played shorthanded just about his entire career. But he never comes off the ice. There's no situation which he can – Mike, he's not right.
So this is a testament to him. This is a testament to him. Also, his goal and two assists. The two assists were secondary assists on the power play. Both of them, I think, they were feeding Krug out on the blue line who had the, you know, real assists. Or maybe it was Marchand, the other one. Either way, they were secondary assists on the power play. So the biggest thing for me is that in that 9:38 that Bergeron was on the ice 5-on-5, he did not allow an even strength goal against, which had been a problem for that line. They were getting beat by the Tarasenko line 5-on-5, and that did not happen. So great. Stay even 5-on-5. If Cassidy has to limit you 5-on-5, replace you with Corrali or Coyle, I think that's fine, and score on the power play. That's their path, which is why it's important for them to draw penalties.
Oh, absolutely. And again, look, we talked about this after game two, right, that they were, as a group, Marchand, Pasternak, Bergeron were -7. You know what they are now? -8. Marchand was a -1 in the last game. So they've still been negative. And but I will say, where I noticed Bergeron in the last game, and I said this to Murray on the night of Game 3, in the defensive zone, I thought he was much more present. I mean,
he's getting back.
He really was.
You're saying Bergeron there? I'm sorry.
Bergeron, yeah. His own zone.
And also, a tip-off is the face-offs.
Yeah.
That's always a tip. He was, I think, 5-1 in the first period. He ended up, I don't have it in front of me, I think he was 58%. I think he was 11 of 19 in this game, which is right back where he should be. He dominated Ryan O'Reilly. I think he was 6 of 8 against Ryan O'Reilly. And that's when you know, that's just a little tip-off of where you're at.
So maybe we keep an eye on him going forward, because this is the last game in the series where there'll only be one day off in between. Right, Bergeron was better in this game. We had a travel day coming here.
There's not a two-day gap between 6 and 7?
No, no, I don't think so. Is there? I'll double check. I thought it was 2 days from here on out.
I thought there was. No. You thought it's 1 day from here on out.
No, this is the last game.
Wait, I'm sorry. So in reverse, you're absolutely right. It's all two games after.
Yeah.
This,
and I wonder if that helps a guy like Bergeron, right? Because tonight he's got to bounce back quick. It's basically two games in 2 days or two, a little more than that. And then now you'll get the benefit of an extra day off the rest of the series. And that might be a huge thing for him.
Okay, phones. Jason and Easton. Hi, Jason.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Real quick for Rask, for a game they won by 5 goals, I did think he was sneaky good. And also, Maz, you brought up a couple days ago after they lost Game 2 that it might actually be a good thing for them to have lost because they see how the Blues have responded. And I think tonight that's going to help them out because I think St. Louis is going to empty the bucket tonight because they know, if they're down 3-1, it's over.
Okay, St. Louis emptying the bucket. Aren't you surprised they didn't empty the bucket in Game 3?
Yes, I mean, again, your city waits 50 years for a Stanley Cup game. 50 years, and you come out and do that. And they were good at the beginning of the game, but it didn't last long.
It wasn't. That was hardly a deluge.
No, it wasn't. I expected what Carolina did to the Bruins in Game 3 in Carolina.
You bet. Buzzsaw.
I think it became a detriment, them playing at home and having that pressure on them first game, Final game, first time they're hosting a hockey game in June. I think that they look tight. How many bad passes did they have? Especially like the first couple of periods. They couldn't connect at all.
Their defensemen suck with the puck.
Tony in Medford. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. I just want to say a couple quick things. Jim, I love your take on the Bruins. Tony, your take on the Bruins is okay. I think you should probably stick with baseball.
Okay.
And DB, you've got no take on anything. Felger, was there ever a team in Minnesota, a national hockey team? I mean,
I'm from Milwaukee, not Minnesota, so I'll let you just go on that. No, there was no NHL team in Milwaukee, so I grew up rooting for the Bruins, unfortunately for you. So I've watched a lot of Bruins hockey over the years, and they've been my team for my entire life, ever since I was a little boy. And I know how they used to play, and I know how you, because I am you, how we used to treat teams that sort of play like the Bruins do now, who help the officials and score on the power play. I know how we used to view those teams. And I, unlike you, at least I'm not trying to be a complete hypocrite and fraud. That's the difference. So what can I tell you on that? We used to hate teams that played like this. Michelle in North Attleboro. Hi, Michelle.
Hey. Actually, I was talking, I was listening to the Bennington thing. First of all, I think the reason why we shook up Bennington is we got 3 top shelves right through on stick side. That's where he's a real weak goalie. But my other problem with the goalie is that they're totally protecting the Blues goalie when Rask is getting ran over and kneed in the face every game. And, we're all happy for the 7-2 win. But, me and my brother were sitting there watching it, and we had to agree. The third period towards the end was the worst Bruins playoff hockey.
Okay, I have to let you go. I just can't.
So in Bennington, look, watching Bennington, I'm not sure where he's not vulnerable.
Yeah, right.
I feel like he's giving him up everywhere.
The Sharks are beating him 7-hole underneath the blocker. The Bruins have gotten him 5-hole 3-4 times in this series. High glove, high stick, she said. I feel like he's just sprung leaks.
I mean, the crew goal was deflected, but it was glove side, short side.
Still a weak
The Corrali goal was on the other side down by the ice. I don't know where he's good. Like, I'm not sure I look at any spot with him right now and say you can't beat him there. It feels to me like if you throw it anywhere in a reasonable framework of the goal without the dead center of the net, it has a chance of going in.
He made one ice-level save in that game that was real good.
Yeah, on Pastrnak in the first period.
Yeah, that's right.
So he went post to post and got Pastrnak, who did not get good wood on it, and helped him along. And that was when it was still 0-0, and you said, okay, you know, the Blues are here. And then the floodgates just opened. Andy in Naples, Florida. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Couple quick things. First off, if you look at that Pastrnak attempted hit on Pastrnak, how close that Blues player's skate came to his face.
So that I noticed. He almost sliced us.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it was really close. But the reason I called was to get your thoughts on the Bruins' play is fast. They're very skilled depth-wise. With the success they had on the power play, does that change the way the Blues are going to have to play the Bruins, not being as physical and falling into the Bruins' strategy of their speed forecheck, where the Blues can't be as aggressive? Because
does that hurt the Blues? Let me just cut you off. If the Blues can't go out there flying around trying to hit you, are they the same team?
No.
So they're porked either way. They still play that way, then they end up in the box and the Bruins score. If they don't play that way, they're not playing to their DNA and they're not the same team.
Right, which is why they have to hope that the whistles go away. You know, and so this is my sort of criticism of the Blues, that you say, okay, but then you can't play the other style. Right, you can't do that.
Right.
So even the Bruins in 2011, and to me that's the best recent analogy we have for the Bruins. Again, the Canucks that year had 33 power play opportunities, almost five a game. 33, they scored twice. So for all the Bruins' shortcomings, or so we thought, skill-wise, speed-wise with that Vancouver team, when they were shorthanded, they killed it.
And they had the goaltending.
Right, absolutely. I mean, which is, they go hand-in-hand, right? So, absolutely. This team gets shorthanded, they give up four goals on four shots. I mean, how do you get around that if you're a coach or a team? Especially if all your money's in your defense. You know, Parayko, Pietrangelo, all these guys who are great players. You can't kill penalties with those guys?
Mark and Medford, 30 seconds.
Mike, I'm going to try and finish what Tony and Medford tried to say. Jim, I agree with you. Tony, you're all over the place. And Felger, you sound like the biggest tool bag right now. And they don't know if it's because you're sitting in downtown St. Louis and you don't want to sound like a homer and afraid you might get hit with some rotten tomatoes from some St. Louis fans. But I don't know which road you think the Bruins are going down as far as diving like the Montreal Canadiens. You tell me where. Who's diving? Maybe Tuukka Rask might have embellished that a little
bit.
But you're going to be kidding me.
So
you're
going to
be kidding me, Mike. And now
Brandon Carlo, let me answer your question. Brandon Carlo's another one. David Backes did it in the first game.
Clifton
did it in the first game, one of those game one, game two, right?
Backes, I'll definitely give you. Sold that one.
Oh, totally.
So, I mean, they've done it a handful, a half dozen times. Fact. They have. So, if that makes me a tool, I don't know. To me, I just call it as I see it, unlike you. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. When teams do that to you, you hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Man, maybe all these years they've been smart and we've been stupid. And now we've gotten smart. Fine. That's fine. Just don't tell me that the shoe isn't on the other foot now, because it is. But mostly Bruins Blues. I do want to get into some other things from the weekend real quick. It's a reentry Monday. There are some interesting things from the weekend that we'll get to in the segment right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
The Stanley Cup Finals play here. Felger and Maz are in St. Louis, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bad news for the Blues. Jordan Binnington gives up 5 goals on 19 shots. Pulled for the first time in his career. I've asked you guys time and again, are you worried about him? Are you concerned about him? Tonight, does it feel different?
It doesn't to me, because I don't think he's played a good game in the final yet. So I think it's good. I think it's good for him to reset, an opportunity to sit back, gather his thoughts, and get his game back to the level that he has demonstrated he can play throughout the playoffs. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think he's having a very good series so far.
Okay, we were going to give you a segment on everything else from the weekend, but we're expecting a guest here in a few minutes. So we're going to stick on the hockey and Jordan Binnington, Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network. Big goaltender analysis is going to join us here. They said now, and he's not here, so of course I played it, and he's not here. But as soon as he joins us, he'll join us. We'll take your calls and continue to discuss as we go along. Let's grab John in Somerville. He's up next on Felger and Maz. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
So the faster team usually gets more penalties, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Not necessarily. No, why do you say that?
But maybe.
Well, the Bruins have, in the past, most of the time, given more penalties and taken more penalties. It just seems to be the opposite this year. So, I mean, both teams have also sold penalties, too. It's not just the Bruins that are selling them. It's also the Blues that are selling them, too.
I think you've been a little worse in the selling department, frankly. And if you want to say the speed team usually gets them, fine. So that's part and parcel. You are now more of a speed, skill team that relies on special teams. You know it. You know the league's willing to call it. So you play into it, and that's being kind. The other way to say it is that you're diving. So when another team does it, it's diving. When you do it, it's smart, and you're playing into it. I'll take either. Let's just call it for what it is, though.
I misinterpreted what he said. What he means, gets more penalties, means called in favor of them.
Yeah, exactly. If you're the speed team, you're going to go on the power play.
Yeah, I would generally agree with that. Yeah,
probably so.
Yeah,
probably so, especially when you help the refs along. Matt in Quincy, what are your thoughts on the Blues?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to toot my horn real quick and then lead a point into my my take. All right. So I called a couple days ago, and I was kind of comparing Maroon to be just as like a goon, and Matt says something about, what about Sean Thornton? But I mean, Sean Thornton also won a cup. He's still a goon, but he did win a cup beforehand. It's like me comparing Maz's baseball life to, like, you know, I don't know, Trelish. There you go. On to the Bruins. So I think basically what they needed to do was just get on the power play and use their skill, which they did, and they beat the Blues that way. I don't think that if you fall into, you know, the whole rah-rah fist fight.
I'm just going to cut you off. If you fall into the trap of trying to match them blow for blow and big bad Bruin and stand up physically, which we fell into as well, meaning we here on the show and fans, and because on Saturday we spent a lot of time with the, you know,
they got to be more aggressive.
Who's going to match?
Who's going to fight Maroon?
Who's going to step up for Maroon? Chara's got to do something. I mean, I fall into that too, for sure. Got to match them physically. You can't let them run you out of the building. Maroon told you go F yourself. Who's going to answer to him? Like all that stuff. I fall into that trap too. Believe me. And I did. And I think we all did. The fact of the matter is, the Bruins are much better off just sort of taking it, going on the power play and scoring and winning and doing that thing. They're much better off.
Well, so I think one of the great things about that is the Bruins didn't fall into it.
And not taking the cheese, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this has always been sort of a weakness of theirs, right? It's always been a weakness of the Bruins that teams will suck them into that sort of thing, and then, you know, they get themselves in a difficult situation, whether it's the power play or whatever. So I give them credit for sort of being able to remain disciplined and not get sucked into that. That's a good thing. That shows growth, as far as I'm concerned, with the Bruins.
So there you go. That's another way to put it. We've shown growth, or we've become a little more weaselly. That's all. I mean, that's another way to put it. Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network now joining us on set. Felger and Maz here from the Enterprise Center. Kevin, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate it. How you been?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Great joining you guys again outside the Enterprise Center. It was awesome joining you guys back in Beantown.
Yeah, here we are.
Yep, just out front of Canal Street, rather, out front of the Causeway, so it was fun.
Yeah, so, okay, we draw on your goaltending analysis. Really, you know, I want the nitty-gritty, but was Binnington as bad as he looked in that game?
Not at all. Not at all.
He wasn't as bad as he looked?
No, not at all. They didn't. The St. Louis Blues play a certain brand of hockey. Everybody knows, everybody to a man on that team that I've spoken to and that I've seen, they know they didn't play very well in front of Jordan Binnington. They let him down. They didn't play very well. They gave up way too much in the middle of the ice. Prime scoring opportunities. The Boston Bruins absolutely were clinical offensively. Clinical. It's not like the Bees poured it on all game. It's just they took what was there. The Bees were so intelligent. They were able to move the puck east-west, able to move the puck diagonally, gaining the zone on offensive zone entries and making plays with their loveless skill. Listen, the Bees are the more dynamic team. Let's be honest. The Bees are very dynamic offensively, and I feel as though the Bees were able to shred the St. Louis Blues because the Blues didn't really play their game. They didn't play their level of game that they're capable of playing. And for Jordan Binnington specifically, there are a couple that he could have had through screens. But all that being said, guys, the one thing we talked about on the NHL Network, and I know they got a lot of character in that room, in the Blues room, but one thing that was kind of shocking to me is one guy didn't come out publicly and say, hey, we let Binner down tonight.
Huh, interesting.
That's Binner down tonight.
Right.
Because they did.
Yeah, but Kevin, that I go back. See, I disagree with you vehemently. I think Binnington was bad in that game, and I think he's been astonishingly average, if that, in the series. I go, that Corrali goal can't happen. That Corrali goal at the end of the first period cannot happen.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you because a lot of people are looking at where the goals are going in. They're saying you're letting in goals five-hole. So a lot of people are saying, well, you're scoring five-hole. Well, I played with a great Marty Brodeur. Marty used to get scored on five-hole. I played with a great Nikolai Habibulin. He used to get scored on five-hole. I played with a great Henrik Lundqvist. As hard as it is to believe, he'd get scored on five-hole. I think, getting back to what I was saying, I don't think that Binner was terrible in that game, and I love the fact that he came out and said that he should be better. But the bigger challenge for me is the Boston Bruins were absolutely slicing them. And when you give those guys that much time and space to make plays, let's put it this way. We're watching Tuukka play right now. And Tuukka, for me, I said it all along, is a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Right now, Tuukka looks incredible. It's tough to beat Tuukka right now. But let's be honest as well. The Bees are playing well in front of them.
Sure.
I mean, all three D pairs look good. All four of the forward lines are coming back with back pressure. They're taking away the middle. Yeah, they're forcing St. Louis to play a game that's a little more uncomfortable. Safe for game two, because the Blues played very well in game two. And especially in that overtime, they were dominant. But prior to that, the Bees, as great as Tuukka's been, which is magical, let's be clear. But the guys are playing so well in front of them, too. And I think that the Blues aren't defending that same way. And when you take a team like Boston lightly, that's four lines deep, that has three pairs, and you give those guys time to pick their shot and make their play. Look at Torrey Krug, for example.
Okay, but I'll tell you, and forgive me, but yeah. Go back to the Corrali goal. How is that a defensive issue? It's a wrister from basically the top of the faceoff circle.
But through a screen, though. It wasn't just like a missed wrister like nobody was in the picture, right? It was a wrister with layers of a screen, which makes it all the more difficult to make the save. So if you look at the game winner, for example, in game two, so you get that, as great as Tuukka's playing, you get that shot from Gunnarsson, right? Gunnarsson scores that shot from the point. But he scores that, and I'm not taking anything away from Gunnarsson. It was a great shot. But Alex Pietrangelo skated through Tuukka.
Sure.
He skated in front of Tuukka. If Tuukka sees that, as great as Tuukka's playing, that's a routine save for him.
Okay, but it was
so
also
my thing.
But it was also 6-on-5, and the puck was up high.
Yeah.
Right? So Tuukka had the ice covered on
for sure.
Play. So I just look at
But he was still screened, though, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still think...
Like, he's still screened. Like, I know a lot of people... Here's my thing. Like, I know a lot of people are looking at Binner now, but as I said, I played with the greatest of the greats of the great, and I played against all of them. I mean, in our era. Anyway, Belfour, Habibulin, Waugh, Brodeur, Hashik,
all of them. It's different Martin Brodeur giving up a bad goal and Jordan Binner.
No, it's not, because a bad goal is a bad goal.
Well, but how about so the coach is supposed to treat him the same?
A bad goal is a bad goal. It doesn't count for more because it's Jordan Binnington. Like, let's be honest, guys. Like, this is the thing. I'm not in the perception business. I'm in the performance business. So ever since I came in the league, if I'm skating with guys in the summer and I'm a young player and I'm skating against Doug Gilmour and Doug Gilmour scores, it's not any different than Steve Thomas scoring. Steve Thomas was a great player.
What I'm talking about is Craig Berube tonight. Jordan Binnington gives up a couple bad ones early. Yep. You're looking at him the exact same way you'd look at Martin Brodeur giving up a couple bad ones early? No. You'd give Brodeur more leash, for sure.
We're not talking about leash. Like, it's not about the leash. It's not about the perception. It's about the performance.
Let's talk about leash. Does Binnington have a shorter leash tonight?
I don't necessarily think so. No. I mean, listen, guys. This is the guy. It's funny you guys are going here because you're just talking about this in our pre-show meeting. Let's put Jordan Binnington and Matt Murray side by side. Both guys play in the OHL. One is Sault Ste. Marie, one played in Owen Sound, my old junior team. Both guys were excellent in junior. Both guys came to the American League. One guy got hot and played great in the American League a little faster, being Matt Murray, a little more accelerated in his development. But if you look at their numbers side by side, OHL, AHL, NHL, they're very comparable. Yet Matt Murray won two Stanley Cups.
Play with Crosby.
Well, but this is what I'm saying. This is my point. And I think Matt Murray's excellent when he's on his game. I really do. And I thought so. Sheldon Keefe coached him in the OHL. I played with Kiefer. And I remember asking him about him then. And then his first year in the American League, he was in a year and change. He had like 10 shutouts in the American League. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at them goalie to goalie, they're pretty similar. And their numbers are pretty similar. And your point, too, as you just said, he's playing with Crosby, Gino, yeah. Letang. Let's go up and down that roster. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little bit different. But the reason why I come back to you when I talk about the perception piece is I know this for a fact, having played with a lot of those guys and played against a lot of those guys, you always want to try to, or I always tried to, evaluate things based on the performance. Because here's an example. You just talked about Corrali. Let's say if I'm leaning more on perception, I'm playing that first line for the Bruins 26 minutes a night. Do you know what I mean? Because they're that dominant. But the reality is, Marcus Johansson's been great. Charlie Coyle has been great. The whole fourth line that you just touched on.
Corrali, yeah.
Have all that Corrali line, a chart. They've been amazing. So, and remember, it wasn't that long ago, guys, at Winter Classic.
Those guys did get more ice time than Bergeron, even strengthened.
This is what I'm saying. So this is my point.
The coach recognized it and is playing that group up.
This is my point, but some coaches wouldn't do that. And I got to give him a lot of credit because some coaches would say, well, it's not the same guys. You know, they don't have the same profile, right? They don't have the same panache. Let's not give them as much ice time. So this is what I'm getting to. I always like to, when I come back to it, I think the teams that have success are the teams that play guys that are going, and they'll recognize that outside of the perception.
And I'm just curious if Berube's going to treat the goaltender thing the same way. I do want to ask you a few other things.
I wouldn't be surprised. If
there is a shorter leash there. Does Berube have a case on the officiating?
No, man. I love Chief. I had a chance to speak to him a couple nights ago for about 15 minutes after dinner. Respect everything he's done. I know he's trying to rally. But you guys know. You guys have been around the game. You can't be taking 10 penalties away from the D-zone. And a lot of those are stick infractions. And a lot of those are just irresponsible penalties. You can't take those penalties. So that onus is on the players.
10 of the 17 have been outside of the defensive zone.
Correct. And a lot of stick infractions.
That is stupid.
Like just irresponsible penalties, right? So when you take those, you're going to get burned. And
the other thing is, how about killing them?
Well, you got to mix that in too, right?
I mean, again, they get four power plays and score in all four and four shots. Who you blame for that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a penalty kill. And I mean, Sundqvist not being in hurts them. But this is why coaches always talk about special teams, right? And this is one of the things that I come back to with the Bruins is right now, they're taking pride in every phase of the game. Every phase of hockey, they're taking pride in. Defensive zone, neutral zone, offensively and defensively. Offense, goaltending, special teams have been special. And teams always say, coaches always tell you, hey, guys, our combined penalty kill and power play need to be in and around 100%. Well, check the number for the Bees in the playoffs. It's well in excess of 100. You know what I mean? So they've been real dominant. And you knew that coming in. Like, we talked about that on Media Day. And we talked to X amount of players on our NHL Network set on our Media Day show talking about the fact that the Blues needed to be disciplined. They weren't. So you know, you always have to play to the strengths of your tendencies and try to limit those of the opposing team.
In the minute we have left, is the series in the balance here tonight? You think the Bruins did something there in Game 3 and this could be it?
Listen, if I'm a Bruins fan or player, I think that, right? But if I'm a St. Louis Blue, this team was dead last January 3rd, fellas. Dead last. Left for dead. Dead last in the league. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think that there's more character in there. And you know that there's a lot of character, but you got to think that there's enough character to get off the mat. But if they don't play their A game, it's going to be tough because the Boston Bruins team is rolling right now. They are absolutely rolling. And Tuca looks a good part Tuca and a good part Carey Price right now. And I say that because he's so elegant in the net. He's so fluid and smooth with it right now, which is very tough to do.
Kevin, thanks again for coming by.
No
we
problem,
really do
fellas.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
We really do appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, man.
Back.
Catch Kevin
boys.
Weeks on the NHL Network, pregame, postgame, the whole spiel. Again, Kevin, thanks so much. Here's an update with Murray, and then we're right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
On the road for the Stanley Cup Finals. Felger and Mass, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coyle got out of the way of a blade check. 3-on-2. Drop to Johansson. Right circle. It's fired. They score! 3-on-2. The Bruins come across and Charlie Coyle whistled one home from the right circle. 2-0 Bruins.
All right, that Charlie Coyle goal, I think, was the best goal of the night for the Bruins. That Charlie Coyle goal was my favorite goal all night. It was 5-on-5. It was a true 100-foot play. Did you see how it all started?
Yep.
Back in your corner behind Tuukka Rask, Charlie Coyle in the corner, goes deep into the corner, and wins a puck battle against Patrick Maroon, picks Maroon's pocket in his own corner, starts it out going the other way. Then it's to Heinen, drop to Johansson. Johansson's pass to Coyle was freaking filthy.
Awesome.
No look, holds the goalie, rifles it right onto his stick. Coyle still has to go, you know, put it up in the shelf or put it up, you know, at least in the upper half of the net, buries it. That was, to me, the best goal of the night for the Bruins.
Yeah, and Binnington, to me, had no shot on that one, right? I mean, that was the Johansson pass was like perfect. Talk about being able to thread needles. And the other thing that happened on that play, if I remember right, Sammy Blay came up to...
Oh, and tried to... go ahead.
Tried to drill Coyle at his own blue line coming out of the Bruins zone. And Coyle sidestepped him. I mean, totally avoided him. And Blay might have pulled up a little bit, too. But, you know, he ended up taking himself out of the play as a result of it. Blay did. And so Coyle pretty much then had a free rein to go right to the net.
So that leads into this following take. Charlie Coyle is your new second-line center. And that line is your second line. And Krejci is a third, fourth guy at this stage.
Might even be fourth because that Corrali line has been dynamite.
Krejci's become kind of a passenger. And if you just look at the ice time, Coyle again, even strength in this game. Coyle 15-13, Krejci 13-20, Corrali 12-11, and Bergeron with the 9-38, who's hurt. If you look at just the overall ice time, Krejci was, I think, fourth. Krejci was fourth, and I think Coyle has become your second-line center. I think Johansson's become your second-line wing, and that's that. That's that, and that's how Cassie's been doing it. David Krejci's been demoted. He's lost that slot. His total ice time was only 13-20.
Wow, that's low.
13-20.
I mean, that line, again, DeBrusk has been bad, too. Like, I in some ways, I feel like Krejci hasn't been the big problem there. But because DeBrusk, you know, Backus is limited.
And a big thing there is that Krejci's on the second power play unit. But when you're scoring on your first shot every power play, what was the average length of their power plays?
Oh, good
you
point,
know,
yeah.
Krejci doesn't get out there. But when you look at time on ice, Charlie Coyle, 15:39. Patrice Bergeron, 15:19. Sean Corrali, 15:09. David Krejci, 13:20. It's your fourth center. It's your fourth center. And I think good for Bruce Cassidy. Not going on reputation. Not going on whatever salary, contract, where they've been before. It's how you're playing. And I think Coyle's been their second best center. I mean, Crowley might have been their second best center. But, I mean, I just think there's been a changing of the guard there. Charlie Coyle, and that line is your new second line.
I mean, those bottom two lines have been the Bruins' biggest advantage in the series. And again, the numbers bear it out. Like I was telling you, plus minus at the Bergeron line collectively now is -8,
right? There's still a minus eight. That's minus three, minus three, minus two for the three of them. The Corrali line, Corrali's plus four, Achari and Nordstrom are plus five.
What's DeBrusque? Because you mentioned him. He's pissed me off. All he's really done is given you one or two bad penalties in each of these games.
He's even. Backes is even. Krejci's actually a plus one. And surprisingly enough, Coyle's a minus one and Johansson's a minus one, but I still feel like they're generating the most opportunities. Like those two, those bottom two lines to me, if you call them the third and the fourth, those two lines to me have been the Bruins' two best in this series.
So, you know, I just think that's happened. And I think the coach deserves credit for letting it happen and doling out the minutes accordingly. I think Coyle and Corrali have been consistently more of a factor on all ends of the ice than Patrice Bergeron, than David Krejci. And so I think Krejci's like their fourth line. That's a pretty good fourth line center, I'll tell you that much. But it just shows you the balance and how well those other guys have played and the coach recognizing it and moving them up in terms of the minutes. And that's happened. All right, we're going to break. We're going to get to all the things that aren't Bruins related because we have more guests coming up and more of your Bruins calls coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. There's a bunch of stuff in the world of sports that happened over the weekend that I want to get to next in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Hey.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mazza in St. Louis for the Stanley Cup Finals. Sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Throws cross court to Livingston. Good catch. Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go! Clutch shot by Andre Iguodala.
Let's do a quick whip around and some other things we wanted to hit on. Any other Monday, we'd have a bunch of stuff to talk about around the world of sports, but we're here for the Stanley Cup in St. Louis. But I do want to hit on these things. Your guy, Steph Curry, Maz, almost threw away that game last night. That Andre Iguodala shot, Steph Curry had Andre Iguodala wide open on that elbow extended at the three-point line, wide open, could have easily given it to him, and instead tries to go in the middle to Livingston. It gets there because Livingston, with a real heads-up play, steps in front of Kawhi Leonard, and then gets it to Iguodala for the dagger three, but Steph Curry almost blew that game.
Livingston made the play, I thought, because Leonard saw it coming, and Livingston went towards the ball. It's like the classic fundamental thing, right? Go get it. Don't wait for the pass to come to you. Go get it. And he went and got it and prevented the steal there. Otherwise, it's a nail-biter.
Meanwhile, and that's another day out of take rehab, Maz. How do you think we stand here on your Steph Curry take?
Right now, I'm feeling okay with it. I'm all right.
You dug in. We get it.
Well, you think Toronto was going to win this thing in four? Is that what you think?
I don't think Toronto's winning.
I think Golden State's in command of the series. They got a road win.
Well, they got home court now.
Yep.
So, obviously, Toronto's going to have to win a game out there to win the series. But I'm not giving up yet. I thought one of the biggest changes in that game is that DeMarcus Cousins gave something to Golden State. I just think, you know, if he's able to give him anything in there and negate some of the size advantage that the Raptors have, I think that's a factor.
So I love it. Now Klay Thompson's hurt on top of Kevin Durant. I'd love it if both of them were up just to prove the point even more. and make a stronger case of getting you into that rehab facility.
So we're getting a nice clean look at it if Thompson doesn't play.
Sure are, aren't we?
Yep, we are.
Okay. Secondarily, this happened, I think, on Friday or Saturday. Colin Cowherd, on top of all of his fine stuff on Fox Sports 1, has a podcast. He welcomed in Jeff Goodman. I found this clip to be instructive because Jeff Goodman is in the circle of Green Team Trust. I think he's got excellent contacts within the Celtics. And so when Jeff Goodman says the following, you have to pay attention. Go ahead, Jimmy.
What are you hearing about Kyrie Irving's future this summer?
I'd be surprised if he stays in Boston. I mean, it just, again, you see his body language. You hear enough smoke. You know there's something going on here. And obviously Kyrie's kind of moody. He's got a tight inner circle. So I'm not sure how much validity some of it has, but again, I don't expect him to be in Boston. You could see it even in the locker room and with his teammates that they almost don't know how to take to Kyrie Irving. I've known him a long time, Colin, and honestly, he's become tough to like. He has. I mean, obviously an elite level talent, but we saw it in the playoffs. He kind of got swallowed up because he's not the most athletic dude in the world. And this group was far more entertaining to watch a year ago in the playoffs with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier. And, you know, I'm not sure how many people in Boston, including Danny Ainge, would be that unhappy if Kyrie Irving leaves.
That's a big one.
It is a big one.
How many people in Boston, including Danny Ainge, would be unhappy if Kyrie Irving leaves? You know what this tells me? That's the first little indication of the talking points that are coming out.
Yeah, they're sick of his crap. Danny's sick of his crap. The guy just had his second heart attack.
But,
he probably don't want to deal with the stress of this.
But they want him.
Of course they want him.
And now it's going to be, well, we don't want him anyway. Oh, you don't want to be here? Well, we don't want you in the first place. You quit? No, you're fired. It's one of those things, I think.
You can't break up with me. I'm breaking up with you.
I already broke up with you.
Yeah, no, look, it's damage control. You don't make the trade they made, acquire that player, only to 2 years later say, you know, we don't like him. You just, now look, they didn't give up a ton in terms of current talent. They gave up that eighth lottery pick. But, you know, Isaiah turned out to be not much of a give, and I'm not going to sweat Jay Crowder and Ante Zizic for crying out loud. But the fact of the matter is you don't put together any package and you don't give away a lottery pick if you think the guy's going to suck.
Okay, again, this segment, everywhere else other than St. Louis and the Stanley Cup Final. We continue at Yankee Stadium last night, Jimmy.
Going to wrap it up. And the Red Sox survive the late rally by the Yankees to earn their first win against Boston this season. The final score in the Bronx, 8-5 Red Sox.
So he screwed up the call, the first win over the Yankees this year. And I mean, is that even true? Anyway, the Sox,
it was, yeah.
The Sox salvage 1 out of 3, lose 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. Maz, your thoughts on the Sox this week?
So again, still moving backwards. I saw the comments by David Price after the game where he said, you know, we needed to beat them. This is a big win for us. We couldn't get swept here, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, it's a big win. Taking 1 out of 3s now is a big deal. You avoid the sweep. That's what we've come to. So they do the same thing in Houston. They avoid a sweep, and that's okay.
Don't let them get hot, Maz.
Like, I just look at it and say, you're still moving backwards. You went in at 6.5. You came out at 8.5. How is that a good thing? So I still don't see. I just, we talked about this earlier in the year that, you know, they, from series to series, they would go into a new place and they weren't responding. They weren't answering. They weren't waking up. And you know what? Here we are now, and it's June. It's now June 3rd. And you know what? They're still not responding. They're in a coma, and Alex Cora knows it. So apparently, and I didn't see the specific comments, but Cora's remarks about the Yankees last night were something to the effect of, yeah, they, you know, they're playing with sort of the edge that we had last year. And I think it's his way of saying we're not playing with it now. I don't know if he can give it to them or not, but plotting along at something that 500 or less than 500 isn't going to do you any good.
Meanwhile, and finally, across town the night before at Madison Square Garden.
Joshua with the hard jab. Trying to answer, but he's safe, and he's down again. Wow. Joshua looks gassed.
Four.
Mouthpiece came flying out of his mouth.
Six, seven, eight.
He's been down four times.
And turn around. You can.
Joshua turning to his corner. He's got to be careful here. Got to stay engaged.
Okay,
where is his mouthpiece?
You're in the box.
Joshua looks so tired. I think he wants out.
That's it. He says that's it. Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
All of our dreams about a Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, undefeated heavyweight championship matchup go up in smoke because Anthony Joshua lost, and it's everyone's using the line, but it's the appropriate line. He lost to Butterbean.
Frijol mantequilla.
That's the Mexican butterbean.
Yes.
That's what it is in Spanish. Well,
no, butterbean in Spanish is frijol mantequilla.
Seriously, though, this guy was a whale. I mean, I love him. I mean, talk about finding, like, the softest, fattest, sloppiest guy you could and putting him in the ring to beat Anthony Joshua.
What a colossal gag by Anthony Joshua. He never fought in the States. This is his first time to come to the States. He's been dunking Deontay Wilder, right? So he finally decides to come to the States. He takes a fight against a guy who, when you look at him, he's one of these heavyweights that you look at and you say, dude, you're really not a professional athlete. You should not be in the ring. And the heavyweights, unfortunately, have a bunch of these guys with just jiggly boobs. And, you know, he's fat. He's freaking fat, this Anthony Ruiz, and out of shape. And he knocked him down four times, knocked him out, and Anthony Joshua quit on this fight.
He did.
What a disgrace Anthony Joshua is.
So to me, there were two things I took out of the fight. One, you had the potential for two undefeated heavyweights who knock out everybody. Just about every one of their wins has been by knockout, the two guys.
What about Wilder and Joshua?
Right. You had the chance for that, and it's now gone. So once again, boxing effed it up. Okay, that's number one. They effed it up. They had the golden goose right there, and they screwed it up because they couldn't get the fight. Whether it was Joshua or Wilder or whatever, they effed it up.
It was Joshua.
Number two, he's got a glass jaw. He knocked down Ruiz early in the fight. I think it was the third round.
Yep.
Ruiz got up. And then Joshua got a little sloppy, got a little aggressive, and went for the knockout and left himself open. And Ruiz hit him, but I wouldn't call it the greatest shot I've ever seen. And Joshua wobbled. I'm convinced. I don't think he can take a shot.
Or he was out of condition or something.
Something. I mean, it looks to me like he can't take a punch, which would explain why he doesn't want to fight Wilder.
But as we watch it, as our amateur, I think most boxing experts said that if it were Wilder and Joshua, Joshua would be a prohibitive favorite. You know, Joshua is a much more technical boxer than Deontay Wilder, much more conservative in his approach, much more technical, not prone to take shots like Wilder is, who's wide open. And so we all said Joshua is the guy, and Wilder's going to be fighting an uphill battle. And now we find out who the fraud is. Because both these guys, there's not a ton of great heavyweights, so every now and then they're fighting a guy that you look at and you go, dude, you shouldn't be in the ring. You are, again, the band boobs all over the place. And the last guy, Wilder fought. Brazil.
Yeah.
Have man boobs, jiggly boobies all over the place. And you know what Deontay Wilder did?
He cold cocked him.
Knocked him into the next galaxy inside of 2 minutes. He took care of him.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helplinema.org.